January 29th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be in the book of Exodus, chapter 8, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 9, verse 35. Here is a brief overview of what we'll find there. If men will not obey his words of warning, God must speak by his words of judgment. When God speaks, people either obey and submit their hearts or disobey and harden their hearts. From the human point of view, Pharaoh resisted God's will and thus hardened his own heart. From the divine point of view, God sent the judgments and therefore caused his heart to harden. The court magicians were able to imitate Aaron's miracle. Now, Satan is a counterfeiter and a very good one at times. But that's the only way that he can oppose God's work, is throwing in a counterfeit. Some miracles are lying wonders. Be sure you can tell the difference. Know the Lord's voice. How do you do that? How do you discern his voice? How do you tell when you're being led of the Spirit? A couple of ways: spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, and spending time with God's people. You'll know his voice. The plagues were God's declaration of war against the false gods of Egypt. He proclaimed, "I am the Lord." They were also a declaration that God had put a difference between the Jews and the Egyptians. How sad that Israel saw God's wonders in Egypt and yet did not trust him. They even wanted to return to Egypt after they'd been delivered. Sometimes, after God delivers us out of our own Egypt, we actually think we want to go back. Great experiences are no guarantee that one has grown spiritually. It all depends on what happens to your heart. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. January 29th, Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 through chapter 9, verse 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh once again and tell him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse, then listen carefully to this. I will send vast hordes of frogs across your entire land, from one border to the other. The Nile River will swarm with them. They will come up out of the river and into your houses, even into your bedrooms and onto your beds. Every home in Egypt will be filled with them. They will fill even your ovens and your kneading bowls. You and your people will be overwhelmed by frogs.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron to point his shepherd's staff toward all the rivers, canals, and marshes of Egypt, so there will be frogs in every corner of the land.' Aaron did so, and frogs covered the whole land of Egypt. But the magicians were able to do the same thing with their secret arts. They too caused frogs to come up on the land. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged, 'Plead with the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let the people go, so they can offer sacrifices to the Lord.' 'You set the time,' Moses replied. 'Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, and your people. I will pray that you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. Then only the frogs in the Nile River will remain alive.' 'Do it tomorrow,' Pharaoh said. 'All right,' Moses replied. 'It will be as you have said. Then you will know that no one is as powerful as the Lord our God. All the frogs will be destroyed except those in the river.' So Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, and Moses pleaded with the Lord about the frogs he had sent. And the Lord did as Moses had promised. The frogs in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields all died. They were piled into great heaps, and a terrible stench filled the land. But when Pharaoh saw that the frogs were gone, he hardened his heart. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. So the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron to strike the dust with his staff. The dust will turn into swarms of gnats throughout the land of Egypt.' So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. Suddenly, gnats infested the entire land, covering the Egyptians and their animals. all the dust in the land of Egypt turned into gnats. Pharaoh's magicians tried to do the same thing with their secret arts, but this time they failed. And the gnats covered all the people and animals. "This is the finger of God," the magicians exclaimed to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh's heart remained hard and stubborn. He wouldn't listen to them, just as the Lord had predicted. Next, the Lord told Moses, "Get up early in the morning and meet Pharaoh as he goes down to the river. Say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse, I will send swarms of flies throughout Egypt. Your homes will be filled with them, and the ground will be covered with them. But it will be very different in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites live. No flies will be found there. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that I have power even in the heart of your land. I will make a clear distinction between your people and my people. This miraculous sign will happen tomorrow.' And the Lord did just as he had said. There were terrible swarms of flies in Pharaoh's palace and in every home in Egypt. The whole country was thrown into chaos by the flies. Pharaoh hastily called for Moses and Aaron. 'All right, go ahead and offer sacrifices to your God,' he said. 'But do it here in this land. Don't go out into the wilderness.' But Moses replied, 'That won't do. The Egyptians would detest the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord our God. If we offer them here, where they can see us, they will be sure to stone us. We must make a 3-day trip into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, just as he has commanded us.' 'All right, go ahead,' Pharaoh replied. 'I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but don't go too far away. Now hurry and pray for me.' 'As soon as I go,' Moses said, 'I will ask the Lord to cause the swarms of flies to disappear from you and all your people. But I am warning you, don't change your mind again and refuse to let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses left Pharaoh and asked the Lord to remove all the flies. And the Lord did as Moses asked and caused the swarms to disappear. Not a single fly remained in the land. But Pharaoh hardened his heart again and refused to let the people go. 'Go back to Pharaoh,' the Lord commanded Moses. 'Tell him this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you continue to oppress them and refuse to let them go, the Lord will send a deadly plague to destroy your horses, donkeys, camels, cattle, and sheep. But the Lord will again make a distinction between the property of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians. Not a single one of Israel's livestock will die.' The Lord announced that he would send the plague the very next day. And he did it, just as he had said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians began to die. But the Israelites didn't lose a single animal from their flocks and herds. Pharaoh sent officials to see whether it was true that none of the Israelites' animals were dead. But even after he found it to be true, his heart remained stubborn. He still refused to let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the sky while Pharaoh watches. It will spread like fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, causing boils to break out on people and animals alike.' So they gathered soot from a furnace and went to see Pharaoh. As Pharaoh watched, Moses tossed the soot into the air, and terrible boils broke out on the people and animals throughout Egypt. Even the magicians were unable to stand before Moses, because the boils had broken out on them too. But the Lord made Pharaoh even more stubborn, and he refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Get up early in the morning, go to Pharaoh and tell him, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go, so they can worship me. If you don't, I will send a plague that will really speak to you and your officials and all the Egyptian people. I will prove to you that there is no other God like me in all the earth. I could have killed you all by now. I could have attacked you with a plague that would have wiped you from the face of the earth. But I have let you live for this reason, that you might see my power and that my fame might spread throughout the earth. But you are still lording it over my people, and you refuse to let them go. So, tomorrow at this time, I will send a hailstorm worse than any in all of Egypt's history. Quick, order your livestock and servants to come in from the fields. Every person or animal left outside will die beneath the hail. Some of Pharaoh's officials believed what the Lord said. They immediately brought their livestock and servants in from the fields. But those who had no respect for the word of the Lord left them out in the open. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Lift your hand toward the sky and cause the hail to fall throughout Egypt on the people, the animals, and the crops." So Moses lifted his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning struck the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been a storm like that, with such severe hail and continuous lightning. It left all of Egypt in ruins. Everything left in the fields was destroyed, people, animals, and crops alike. Even all the trees were destroyed. The only spot in all Egypt without hail that day was the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. Then Pharaoh urgently sent for Moses and Aaron. "I finally admit my fault," he confessed. "The Lord is right, and my people and I are wrong. Please beg the Lord to end this terrible thunder and hail. I will let you go at once." "All right," Moses replied. "As soon as I leave the city, I will lift my hands and pray to the Lord. Then the thunder and hail will stop. This will prove to you that the earth belongs to the Lord. But as for you and your officials, I know that you still do not fear the Lord God as you should." All the flax and barley were destroyed because the barley was ripe and the flax was in bloom. But the wheat and the spelt were not destroyed because they had not yet sprouted from the ground. So Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. As he lifted his hands to the Lord, all at once the thunder and hail stopped, and the downpour ceased. When Pharaoh saw this, he and his officials sinned yet again by stubbornly refusing to do as they had promised. Pharaoh refused to let the people leave, just as the Lord had predicted. January 29, our reading in the New Testament today, we from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 30. Let Jesus bless your family. Children want to come to Jesus, but too often adults get in the way. The best parents make it easy for their children to come to Christ and to love Him and receive His blessing. Let Jesus have your all. The wealthy young man had much in his favor, but he thought too highly of himself and was not really honest before God. Money stood between him and salvation, and he would not repent and renounce his false God. You never lose when you give everything to Jesus, you know that? You never lose. He blesses you in this life and in the life to come. And now, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. January 29th. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 30. Some children were brought to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. The disciples told them not to bother him, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he put his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, What good things must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, Only God is good. But to answer your question, you can receive eternal life if you keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, If you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went sadly away because he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. I say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Then Peter said to him, We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get out of it? And Jesus replied, I assure you that when I, the Son of Man, sit upon my glorious throne in the kingdom, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or property for my sake, will receive 100 times as much in return, and will have eternal life. But many who seem to be important now will be the least important then, and those who are considered least here will be the greatest then. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 22 points to our Lord's grace in dying for us, and Psalm 23 explains His goodness in caring for us. This psalm, Psalm 24, reveals His glory in coming for us. There is glory in God's creation. These verses remind you of Psalms 8 and 19. The world today is in travail because of sin, but the Creator will one day set His creation free. There is glory in salvation. Psalm 15 is a parallel, and both passages emphasize the fact that nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ can meet God's qualifications to live in His holy place. We are all like Jacob, but He is the God of Jacob, and will forgive us and let us live with Him forever. Your shepherd is the King of Glory. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10, a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundation on the seas, and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, and who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have right standing with God their Savior. They alone may enter God's presence and worship the God of Israel. Open up, ancient gates. Open up, ancient doors. And let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, invincible in battle. Open up, ancient gates, open up, ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 5. My child, if you co-sign a loan for a friend or guarantee the debt of someone you hardly know, if you've trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you said, quick, get out of it if you possibly can. You have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now swallow your pride. Go and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. Save yourself like a deer escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing from a net.